the ocean had a meter, that Metropolis's didn't. It didn't rush or apologize. It just moved, steady, dateless, patient. For the first many days after Aaron arrived in the literal city, time felt slower. The mornings were filled with light that didn't fight its way through towers, and the nights were darker in a comforting way. Indeed, silence then sounded alive. Suckers crying in the distance, swells folding into the reinforcement, the occasional hoarse laugh from fishers down the pier. Lena had set up him a small place to stay, a guest house above a bookstore, two thoroughfares from the cafe, where they'd met again. The proprietor, an old man with suave Argentine hair, introduced himself simply as Idris. He didn't ask questions, just handed over the key and said, "The ocean's loud when it rains. You'll get used to it." Aaron didn't mind the noise. He'd spent utmost of his life girdled by mortal noise, buses, defenses, people trying too hard to fill silence. The ocean was different. It didn't demand to be heard. It just was. Every morning he walked the cafe. Not because they planned to meet. They no way demanded a plan now. Lena was always there. Occasionally she was reading. Occasionally sketching herself. Occasionally just gaping out at the water. Their exchanges started easy, soft, everyday effects. The flavor of the day's afters. The odd habits of the cafe's cat. The fact that the city's streetlights still used old bulbs that buzzed noiselessly at night. But beneath the small talk, commodity deeper hummed. It was ain't the same as before, not the shy ganders and stolen moments of two people who might fall in love. It was quieter now, aged ever. Two people who formerly had, and were trying to understand what to do with it. On the fourth morning, Lena looked up from her mug and said, "Do you ever suppose we met too soon?" Aaron lifted his head. "Too soon for what?" "For this," she said, flagging between them. "For knowing someone before you know what you want out of life." He smiled noiselessly. "I suppose you meet people when you're supposed to. You just don't always fate the timing as fair." She jounced, tracing the hem of her mug. "You always sound so sure of effects." "I'm not sure," he said. "I just choose to believe the interpretation of the story that hurts lower." Her smile faded slightly. "And which interpretation is that?" "The one where we do and waste the time we're given trying to rewrite it." She looked at him for a long moment. Really looked in commodity, and her expression softened, as if she'd been holding her breath for months. "You still draw every day?" she asked. "Every night," he said. "You?" she laughed. "I'm not an artist." "You were always reading." "That counts. Reading is end creating." "Sure it is," he said. "You make worlds in your head. You rebuild people with words." She gave him that look, the bone that made him feel like she saw through his defenses, straight to the soft center. "I missed talking like this," she said still. "So did I." Latterly that day, she took him to the escarpments that overlooked the city. The path cracked through altitudinous lawn and wildflowers, the wind pushing against their tails. Below, the water stretched endlessly, crashing in slow stir against the jewels. "This was my escape when I was youngish," she said. "Whenever life got too loud, I came then. I'd sit until the wind drowned everything out." He stood beside her, hands in his pockets. "Do you still come then when life gets loud?" She sighed. "Occasionally. But now I suppose I'm just staying for it to make sense again." He glanced at her. "Does it ever?" She smiled, the kind that doesn't relatively reach the eyes. "Perhaps not. But it helps to pretend." The wind pulled at her hair, lifting beaches into the sun. Aaron wanted to draw her right there, the ocean behind her, the sky bending into blue, her figure framed by the horizon. But commodity stopped him. Perhaps it was because this moment didn't belong on paper. Some effect were too alive to flatten into graphite and lines. So he just said, "You look happy then." "I'm not unhappy," she said. "That's progress." He jounced. "Occasionally not being unhappy is enough." They stayed there until the light started to fade. When they eventually walked back down toward the city, she said, "Do you ever suppose about going back to the megacity?" "Occasionally," he said. "But every time I do, it feels lower in my head." "What about your work? I brought it with me." She looked surprised. You mean you're still painting then?
Yeah, he said.
Mara, the cafe proprietor from before, keeps dealing prints in the megacity for me. Says people still ask about the blue you left before. Lena laughed vocally. That title still makes me feel like I owe you in reason.
You don't owe me anything, he said. You gave me commodity to paint.
She was quiet for a while. Also said, you really no way stopped allowing about me, did you?
No, he said, but not in the way you suppose. It's not like I replayed everything. It's more like you stayed in the background noise, like a song that keeps looping in another room.
She smiled noiselessly. That's actually beautiful.
He chortled. I try.
That night, Aaron couldn't sleep again. The ocean wind rattled the shutters, and the air smelled like swab and rain. He opened his sketchbook and started to draw. Not her eyes this time. Not indeed her face. Just her figure against the horizon. The figure of a person who belonged nowhere and far and wide of formerly. He shadowed in the sky until it turned darker. Also added the faintest band of blue along the horizon. The kind of blue that always meant her. When he finished, he wrote at the bottom, part of me will always be looking for the ocean inside your silence. He closed the book, leaned back, and heeded to the swells. In the morning, Lena knocked on his door. She looked half awake, wearing an Argentine sweater and holding two mugs of coffee.
You're up beforehand, he said.
Couldn't sleep, she said.
Dreams were loud.
He smiled. Come in. She handed him one of the mugs. You know what's funny? She said. When I left the megacity, I allowed I was running down from commodity. Now that you're then, I suppose perhaps I was just running toward it.
He set his mug down.
Toward what? She looked at him, the light catching in her blue eyes again.
Toward you.
The words hung there for a long moment, soft, certain, heavier than the ocean outdoors. He didn't move at first. Didn't speak. Also, he said still, also perhaps I eventually set up where I was going too. That evening, they went back to the cafe by the ocean. It was nearly empty, just a many locals, the hum of soft music and the steady meter of swells outdoors. Lena looked out the window and said, do you ever worry this is temporary?
What do you mean?
This, she signaled between them. Us. Perhaps it only works because we're both cashing from the rest of the world. He allowed for a moment. Perhaps. But isn't that what utmost beautiful effects are? Temporary escapes, she considered that. That sounds like commodity you draw.
I formerly did, he said, pulling out his sketchbook and flipping to the runner from last night.
She looked at it for a long time, her thumb tracing the line of the horizon.
It's lonely, she said vocally. It's honest, he said.
She jounced. You always did know how to make honesty feel gentle. They sat in silence for a while. The swells outside kept breaking against the jewels, metrical, everlasting, nearly like breathing. Also, Lena said still, I do'n't know what happens coming, Aaron.
He looked at her. We do'n't need to know.
But do'n't you want to?
Of course, he said. But I've learned commodity about stories.
You do'n't force the coming chapter. You stay until it's ready to be written. She smiled that small, knowing smile he'd fallen for the first time he saw her.
Also, perhaps, she said, we just keep turning the runner sluggishly.
Slow's good, he said. The ocean doesn't rush. Neither should we. They stayed there until closing again, the lights darkening one by one. As they stepped out into the night, the air smelled like swab and wildflowers. Lena slipped her hand into his without saying anything, and for the first time in a long while, Aaron didn't feel lost.
Not indeed a little. He just felt, then, with her, and with the endless blue around them, staying still for whatever came next.
The coming many weeks slipped by like mist, quiet, golden, a little fantastic. Every morning, Aaron and Lena met at the cafe or down by the jewels near the waterline. She brought books. He brought his sketchbook. Occasionally they spoke for hours. Other times they just sat together, each lost in their own silence that ever felt participated. The city had accepted him like an echo, familiar, unnoticed. He'd started sketching original faces, the fisher mending his net, the children chasing seagulls, the request seller who vended failures so bright they looked painted.
He indeed helped Idris in the bookstore formally, or doubly, sorting old poetry collections that smelled like time itself. But indeed in all that peace, there was commodity restless inside him. It was ent out, not exactly. More like the feeling you get when you realize a dream might end, and you do ent know when or how. One late autumn, Lena sat up by the pier, sketching a windjammer moving across the water. "Still chasing Madeiras?" she teased. "Always," he said, closing a sketchbook. "They keep running down." She smiled, sitting down beside him. "You look like you've been allowing too hard again." "Perhaps," he said. "Or perhaps the ocean's just starting to sound like questions." She lifted her head. "Questions about what?" He didn't answer right down. The wind lifted a many beaches of her hair, brushing them across her face. He reached out, gently put away them behind her observance. "About how long commodity like this can last?" he said eventually. Lena looked at him. "You suppose we'll fade again?" "I don't want to," he said. "But life has a way of pulling us piecemeal. The megacity's still there. My work, your world. This it feels too good to stay untouched." She looked out toward the horizon. "Perhaps that's why it matters. Because it's fragile." He suffed. "You sound like one of your books." She smiled noiselessly. "And you sound like someone who still hasn't learned to stop prognosticating consummations." That evening, she invited him to her house for regale. It was a small cabin on the edge of city, put away between altitudinous pines and ocean lawn. Outside, everything smelled noiselessly of cinnamon and old wood. There were books far and wide, piled on chairpersons, window blocks. Indeed, the bottom, a oil of a stormy ocean, hung above the fireplace. "I see you've been nesting," Aaron said, looking around. "I like being girdled by stories," she said, lighting a candle. "Makes me feel less alone." He smiled. "You've got enough then to start your own library." "Perhaps eventually," she said. "For now, I just read them to flash back who I used to be." He lifted his head. "And who was that?" "A girl who believed love was a constant," she said vocally. "Turns out it's more like the drift." He jounced. "Comes and goes. But always returns," she said. That line hung in the air like a pledge. After regale, they sat by the fire. The light flitted over her face. Soft, shifting, alive. "Do you ever lament it?" she asked suddenly.
"What?"
"Us. Back also." He looked at her for a long time.
"No,"
he said. "Not indeed when it hurt." She studied him.
"Why not?"
"Because it made me real," he said. "Before you, I just was. After you, I started feeling effects I didn't have words for." She smiled noiselessly. "You always did find poetry in pain." He chortled. "Comes with the job." She leaned back against the settee, watching the fire. "You know what I lament?"
"What?"
"Leaving without saying everything I wanted to." He awaited, quiet. "I allowed silence would make it easier," she said. "But it didn't. It just stretched the pang out longer." He jounced sluggishly. "Yeah, silence is tricky like that." She looked at him also, really looked, like she was learning the way the firelight touched his face. "I do not want to leave anything unsaid this time," she rumored. "Also do ant," he said. She leaned forward and kissed him. It was in a rush or surprise. It was ineluctable. The kind of kiss that feels like a return commodity that no way ended. When they eventually pulled piecemeal, she rumored against his lips, "Stay tonight." And he did. The morning light crept in gently, the way it does after commodity honest. Lena was still asleep beside him, the waist tangled, her hair discovering across the pillow. For a moment, Aaron just watched her breathe. There was peace there, fragile, quiet peace that he wanted to hold on to ever. But the thing about artists is, they see the cracks indeed in beauty. Perhaps that's what makes them want to paint it, to save it before it fades. He slipped out of bed and stepped outdoors. The ocean was calm, a glass of pale blue and tableware. He opened his sketchbook again. This time, he didn't draw her face or the horizon. He drew their hands, hers resting in his, fritters slightly touching, as if both hysterical to grip too tightly. When Lena woke, she sat up on the veranda, coffee in hand, lost in study. What are you allowing about? She asked, belting a mask around herself. Time, he said. How it always feels shorter when you're eventually where you want to be. She smiled lifelessly. Also, perhaps the trick is and to measure it. He looked at her and said, perhaps the trick is and to waste it. A many days latterly, a letter arrived for Aaron. It was from the megacity, from Mara. Lena set up him reading it at the cafe, his face undecipherable. Bad news? She asked. He folded the letter. Depends how you look at it. What's it? Mara got me an offer, he said. A single exhibition. My first. Her eyes widened. Aaron, that's inconceivable. He didn't smile. It's in Berlin. 2 months. The excitement in her eyes bedimmed.
Oh, yeah.
They sat in silence for a while, the sound of swells filling the space between them. Eventually, Lena said, you should go. He looked at her sprucely. You want me to leave? I want you to live, she said. You've been staying for commodity like this for times. He shook his head. I do want to watch about that presently. Yes, you do, she said gently. You just forgot how important. He leaned forward. And what about us? She smiled sorely. You always said love is and about keeping someone. It's about seeing them come who they're. Promise me commodity. Anything. Duent turn me into an oil this time, she said. Just flashback me as I am. He smiled sorely. That's the problem. You're formerly art. She laughed, a small broken sound. Go chase your horizon, Aaron. He dithered. Also kissed her. Formally, vocally, like an ending line in a lyric. When he stepped onto the train, she didn't surge. She just stood there, her hair whipping the wind, eyes as blue as the first day he saw her. And for a moment, he allowed, perhaps this is what it means to love someone to walk down, but no way leave. That night, as the train rolled through endless geographies, Aaron opened his sketchbook one last time. He drew her standing by the ocean, her dress caught in the wind, the swells stretching out behind her. At the bottom, he wrote some loves are ain't meant to last ever. They're meant to change the way ever feels. He closed the book, leaned against the window, and let the meter of the train carry him toward whatever came next. Berlin was colder than air in flashback, the kind of cold wave that clung to your breath and made the air taste like essence. He'd been there for 3 weeks now, preparing for his first solo exhibition. The gallery was satiny and minimalist, all white walls and polished bottoms, the kind of space that made art feel like concession. He should have been thrilled. This was everything he'd worked for. Times of sketches, late nights, rejections, and continuity had led him then. But standing under the sharp gleam of the gallery lights, girdled by his own work, he felt strangely concave. People called him brilliant, fresh, emotionally raw. Critics wrote that his pieces captured the pang of distance. They didn't know how non-fictional that was. On opening night, the gallery was full. Champagne spectacles, murmurs, precious incense. Mara floated near the entrance, chatting guests with her usual confidence. She caught Aaron's eye and beamed. You did it, she said. You're eventually then. He jounced. Yeah, I'm then. But his aspect kept drifting to one oil at the far end of the room, the sea between us. It showed a woman standing on the edge of a precipice, her hair tangled in the wind, her dress the same pale blue as dawn. The ocean stretched endlessly behind her, and if you looked nearly, her reflection in the water was ent still. It was walking down. People kept stopping in front of it, gaping longer than at the others. Some rumored, some just suffed still. Mara leaned near. They love it, she said. He smiled noiselessly. I know. But inside, the pang grew sharper. When the crowd began to thin, Aaron slipped outdoors. The megacity lights blurred in the mizzle, golds and tablewares melting together. He pulled his fleece tighter and walked erratically through the thoroughfares, the noise of business blending into the hum of his studies. He set up a small cafe, empty except for a barista wiping down the counter. He ordered coffee and sat by the window, sketchbook open but untouched. He'd promised Lena he would end draw her again, but pledges, he realized, didn't abolish memory. Every shade of blue still reminded him of her. The sky before daylight, the reflection in a billabong, the essay bleeding through a runner. She lived there, still, in the spaces between color. 2 days latterly, he entered a letter, handwritten, no return address. But he knew the handwriting before he indeed opened it. Aaron, I saw the advertisement about your exhibition. I couldn't stop smiling. You eventually did it. I'm proud of you, further than I can say. I allowed about coming, but I knew if I saw you again, I'd no way be suitable to let you go an alternate time. The ocean is changing recently. It's calmer. Perhaps that means commodity. I've been painting too, though I'm terrible at it. Turns out, watching you all those times tutor me commodity about color after all. Don't worry, I'm not turning into you. I still read too important and forget to eat on time. But I suppose I'm eventually learning to stay. Thank you for reminding me that love does ain't need be ever be real. I hope the world sees what I see in your work, the honesty, the pang, the beauty of trying. I'll be by the escarpments hereafter evening. The same spot. The sky is supposed to be clear. Still, that's where I'll be if you ever find your way back. Always, Lena. He goggled at the letter for a long time. The words blurred. His throat tensed. Also, he folded it precisely and slipped it into his fund. That night, he couldn't sleep. The megacity outside his window was alive, but he felt long halls down from it, trapped in a noise that didn't belong to him. He stood before the sea between us again, studying the painted horizon. He realized commodity. It was in her walking down. It was him. And suddenly, he knew what he'd to do. By daylight, he was on an aeroplane. He didn't tell anyone. Not indeed, Mara. The flight felt endless, the kind where time stretches and recollections renewal in circles. When he eventually stepped off the train at the little literal city, the air smelled like swab and rain again, familiar, forgiving. The city hadn't changed much. The same crooked lampposts, the same chatter of fishers, the same bookstore with a cat sleeping on a window ledge. He walked straight toward the escarpments. Lena was there. She was standing exactly where she said she'd be, hair caught in the wind, a sketchbook of her own in her hands. When she turned and saw him, she said, a blend of shock and commodity deeper in her eyes. You came back, she rumored. He smiled vocally. You knew I would. For a moment, neither of them moved. The ocean roared below, wild and endless. Eventually, she laughed, half a sob, half unbelief. You're insolvable. Perhaps, he said, but you wrote me an assignation I couldn't ignore. She stepped closer, her voice pulsing. You had an exhibition, I did, he said, and it was beautiful, but it was at home. She looked up at him also, the same blue that had undone him times gone. What are you saying, Aaron? I'm saying I'm done oil farewells. He reached into his fleece and pulled out her letter, now crinkled and worn. You said love doesn't need to be. Ever to be real, he said still. But perhaps it doesn't have to end moreover. Her eyes glistened. And what if we hurt each other again? He smiled sorely. Also we'll make up through it. They stood there for a long time, the sky stretching wide and open above them. Eventually, she said, do you flash back what you told me formerly? That you meet people when you're supposed to. Indeed, if the timing feels illegal? He jounced. Perhaps this is fair now, she said. He reached for her hand. This time, neither of them dithered. The wind whipped around them, carrying the sound of the ocean, the scent of rain and commodity like remission. Latterly that evening, they walked back toward city. The sun was sinking, staining the water orange and gold. Lena said, do you ever wonder if we'll just keep repeating this chancing each other, losing each other, chancing again? He smiled. Perhaps that's what eternity really is, not staying, but returning. She looked at him, eyes shining. Also, let's keep returning. Deal. Back at her cabin, she showed him her oils, clumsy but alive, full of color and emotion. You were ain't lying, he said, laughing vocally. You're terrible. She hit his arm smoothly. Hey! But they feel real, he added. That's what matters. She smiled. Also, perhaps you can educate me. Duly this time. He leaned in, kissing her forepart. Only if you promise not to run off of my ways. No pledges, she said. That night, as they sat by the fire again, Lena looked over at him. So what now? Aaron allowed for a moment. Now we live. Perhaps we paint. Perhaps we just breathe. Whatever it is, we do it together, sluggishly, like the ocean. She smiled. The ocean again, huh? He chortled. It always comes back to that. Lena leaned against him. You know what I realized?
What?
That I do and suppose I ever stop being in love with you. I just stopped admitting it. He smiled vocally. That makes two of us. Outside, the swells crashed against a reinforcement, case and eternal. Inside, the two of them sat still, wrapped in warmth and history, watching the fire flicker. No promises this time. No prospects. Just two people who had eventually learned that love doesn't always need to be perfect. It just needs to keep chancing its way back. And as Aaron closed his eyes, he allowed perhaps this is what it means to be lost. Not in sadness, but in the beauty of commodity you no way stop believing in.